Bob Dean.
Not live and almost from Beverly Hills, it's the new and improved Bob Dean Show.
Yay!
Well, we unenthusiastically go yay whenever I say the Bob Dean Show. I forgot to inform Sylvia Sage, our guest tonight.
I was actually excited for it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's great, but you'll notice ramble on for a little while, you'll understand whenever, because I do throw my shamelessly self-promote my name in there as much as I can, and everybody just goes, yay.
Got it. Got it.
Well, this is our first, Kathy St. George, hopefully, will be joining us soon. I know this is our first real serious video podcast.
Yay.
Thank you, Joe. What's your last name, Joe? Joe White, and of course, Sammy Junior, my producer over there. Dennis won't be joining us tonight. We want to give our shout out to Zach Herndon.
Hi, Zach.
In Bloomington, Indiana. He was an original first member of the crew of the Bob Dean Show. Yay.
Okay.
And he does work on putting things up on my website, which is bobthesurlycomic.com. Oh, yeah. Before I forget, and we start talking with Sylvia. Of course, everything is raw footage here. The Bob Dean. Start following me on Twitter, y'all, because I think I have like 15 followers. But it's all different because all these names were taken. So at Twitter, it's at the capital T-H-E, capital S-U-R-L-Y, comic, however that fucking works. But, you know, I'm going to try and be tweeting now because I want, not Twitter, fuck Twitter, Instagram. Yeah, because I want to be an Instagram star. If these
you want to be an Instagram model?
These idiot children are, I mean, that's all I hear at the bar. It's either, this is the chatter that's going on over the bar in Beverly Hills. I do work at Wolfgang Steakhouse by Wolfgang's Wiener, Wednesday through Saturday for your viewing and tipping pleasure.
Shameless promotion.
And of course, before I forget, yeah, I got to remember this. We are coming to you, not live, but almost from Beverly Hills in beautiful Persian Westwood, from the LA School of Comedy Studio at 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard. Owned by the fabulous Sundar Greenquist. Very, very, very funny. And yeah, I know I owe you money soon. I got a check in my pocket for studio rental. And let's see what else. I'm not going to be appearing anywhere anytime soon that I know of. Please follow me on Instagram and Twitter. And you can go to my website, Bob Surly Comic, get all that information and watch the video of me in a Speedo because it's brilliant. It's like 5 years old, but it's hilarious. It's my best work. And now, welcome Sylvia Sage. Yay!
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my goodness. It's our pleasure. I met Sylvia. We did a show together at Molly Malone's.
Yes.
Ray
Renaga.
What's the group?
Speakeasy.
Speakeasy Comedy.
Yes.
And I've had the pleasure of being able to perform with these guys from time to time.
Yeah, they're great.
That's how I met Sylvia. We did a show at Molly Malone's together, and she is a comedian and
Adult film actress.
And she's just Google her, guys. Gals. You're fabulous.
Thank
because, you. And your comedy act, it really does go a lot about your film acting career.
Yes.
You know,
well, it's just about my life in general. And my life happens to be adult films and comedy. So,
which is very interesting. Yeah. Okay. Now, we were talking about this earlier. If I don't touch on anything you want to, but you're from Kansas City?
Yes, from Kansas City originally.
Okay. And you were born in 1984.
Yes.
God.
Yes. I know you mentioned earlier you had an SS-84, and I was like, a Sylvia Sage 84?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just looked at the camera thinking about what I was doing in 1984 when you guys weren't even born yet.
You're probably getting as much pussy as I was coming out of. Ayo!
Yeah, that was before I came out of the closet. Ayo!
That's why I said the one pussy.
But I have 5 cats at home now. I wonder if that qualifies. So, Sylvia, tell us a little bit about, tell us whatever you want. You're fascinating. You're beautiful.
Thank you.
And
my mom thinks so too.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. What are your tell us what your folks think. First of all, I was looking on your IMDb was reading your bio on Pornhub.
Yeah.
And
I also didn't write. I don't know any of these bios.
Well, what are the facts? I mean, you didn't you work in an office or something like that before you decided you wanted to be a comic and come west? Or
yeah, I worked in healthcare. So I worked 4 years in cardiology and 4 years in chiropractic.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And then because I got I moved to Los Angeles in 2004.
Okay.
After being, I'm still a bartender that pays the bills, but for 36 years. But the whole point about it is you came west late later.
Yeah.
Like I did.
Yes. At 30.
See, I came at 42, but that's a big chunk because most of the.
It is.
It's huge. It's huge because you've got a life set up and you're starting to accrue items and things like that, considering, you know, whatever. But then you just go, hey,
yeah, I had a real life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. I had a real life and then I just sold everything I owned just drove out with clothes.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. That's exactly how I did it. Yeah. Well, I had a little U-Haul. But yeah, and LA is a great town. Yeah. It's I don't even want to get on how expensive it is to live out here.
I know, but it's worth it.
I love it.
I feel like it's worth it.
I wish I'd moved here. I mean, I love my time in Miami, and I love the friends that I still have to this day.
Yeah.
But I wish I'd come out here.
I just got back from Miami.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I was down there last weekend. Well, for 7 days.
Next time you go, you got to let me know. I'll hook you up. I've got some cool-ass friends that still live on the beach.
I needed some hookups there.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was a rough go this trip.
Oh, I wish I'd known.
Yeah, it's okay.
Because actually, anyway, let's get back to you.
Yeah.
So you moved out. Yeah, seriously, like I said.
We both wander. Shiny up.
Well, no, yeah, exactly. I swear. That's what Dennis, I'm sorry, Dennis can't join us tonight. But we were talking at home, and I'm like, dude, you've got to just go, Bob, pull it back.
Right, come back.
So please, y'all feel free to do it. Okay, so you came from Kansas City, or does Vegas in this equation at all?
Yeah, so Vegas is in the equation, but not a lot. I lived in Vegas for like a year and a half. It was actually in between me living in LA. I had come out to LA and realized just how expensive it was, and I wasn't cutting it. So I moved to Vegas, where it's half the price.
Exactly. Half the price and 4 hours away.
4 hours away. So I moved to Vegas, where I was living for like a year and a half, and I was just making the commute back and forth, which got to be overwhelming. And once I got finances, well, I say a little bit better.
Your footing.
Yeah.
You started getting your footing, yeah.
Yeah, came back and then finally got a place out here.
So. Now, what part of town are you in?
I'm in North Hollywood now.
North Hollywood's charming. I love it out there.
I do.
And NoHo is really hot and up and coming. And
yeah, I live right there in the little arts district, and I walk to everything. It's fantastic.
Well, that's the play I was telling you about that we're going to get on a little bit further about the Sixth Street of Separation. But the play that I did was at the St. Matthew's Lutheran Church.
Oh,
which
okay.
is right at the Five Points, Lancashire, and
right
from H. Salt Fish and Chips.
Yeah,
that white Lutheran church that's been there since like the early 40s, and it's really neat to see the spiral that's come around it. But that's where our show was.
Okay, nice.
And as big as LA is, it's really neat. The Sixth Degree of Separation. We're going to talk about a film that Sylvia has done.
Yes.
And how another actress friend who I hadn't seen in a while, hi, Brenda Roberts, is in the film as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But NoHo is cool.
I
really like it out there.
And it's good highway access. And
exactly. See, I'm in West LA. I'm right here. I milk Santa Monica for the address.
Yeah.
But I'm right
where... Of course
where,
you do. I would too.
I'm right where Brentwood and Santa Monica come together.
I would milk Brentwood or Santa Monica.
Either way, right?
Yeah.
But my one selling point that I tell my friends when I tell them to come visit is you can walk to where O.J. killed Nicole. It's right around the corner.
Oh, my God.
I know. Isn't that terrible?
That's terrible.
But here at the Bob Dean Show, we hold no bars. But anyway, but yeah, my neighborhood's great. Freeway access to the 10, the 405. Oh, Nicole! We got to call the 405 traffic girl.
You call the 405 traffic girl?
Okay, I'm sorry. Can we just do this?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, gang. My friend Nicole Fedor.
Okay.
Or, excuse me, Summerfield. She's married now. She was my first friend in LA. She lived downstairs. And she and her husband just bought this really cool place in Long Beach, which is really hot and happening now, too.
Yeah.
But she works on Tuesdays with the dentist in Brentwood.
Okay.
So she does her before we call her to see how many inches she can get in 10 minutes from she gets on at Wilshire.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
And we just want to say hi to her. I don't even know if she's – I'm sorry. I didn't think this through, guys. I don't want to bug this. We can keep just keep taping or edit this part out or what?
I'm cutting audio really quickly.
Thank you. Kim Reed and Bob Shea. Who the hell are these people? I swear. I hate these things.
I'm rolling sound again, Bob.
Okay. Let me see if I can get a hold of her first.
Sure, that's fine.
She's a texter, too. That's when I knew I lost her. Seriously, I'll tell the story to you, and she hates it, but it's an absolute fact.
Hello?
Are you in the car?
I am in the car.
Oh, what perfect timing. Because now, everybody, this is Nicole Summerfield, our 405 traffic, inch-by-inch traffic reporter. Yay!
Hi,
and we're doing our first... Do you have time to talk?
Of course.
Okay, great. Because I completely forgot that to call you. Because I'm so excited. We're filming, professionally filming.
Oh,
Joe, what's your last name again? White. Joe White is filming, and of course, Sammy Junio is nice. Over here. And we have Sylvia Sage, who is a comedian and adult film actress star, in the studio with us tonight.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
And Nicole, I was just bitching about how I hate my phone. And how I didn't know what they were, and what was it, 10, 11 years ago, you got the first iPhone I had ever seen, and I knew I lost her. Because Nicole, seriously, and don't you get upset, because it's true. Nicole used to live right downstairs, and it was like having a two-bedroom apartment
right.
with an outdoor staircase, and we were just together constantly. And we'd watch TV, and we'd cook, and we'd take walks and all that good stuff. And then she came upstairs with an iPhone. And the texting began. And I was like, will you please put that down? And you're like, I'm multitasking. I'm really watching this. Leave it to me. Anyway, so how's the traffic today?
Why do we even talk about it? It's supposed to be spring break. There's supposed to be less traffic. And there's not.
Uh-huh.
Of course not.
So the brake lights are beaming around you, huh?
A Prius cut me off already. A Tesla cut me off already. It's the same crap every day.
You need to be more of an aggressive driver like me. I'm going back to driving the Roadmaster wagon because it's all beat up. And I'm just going to start slamming people out of the way, especially people in Priuses. They're like rats. They look like little rats running around. Yeah, I said it.
They are.
Well, how's the new pooch? Your, whatchamacallit, animal farm.
She is highly allergic to bees.
Oh, no.
Did she get stung by a bee?
Yeah, last Tuesday, of course, when I'm, 2 hours away from home.
Oh, no.
She went into anaphylactic shock.
Oh.
I'm a little paranoid mommy now.
Yeah, I can understand why.
Well, do they have an EpiPen for dogs? Seriously.
Supposedly they do. But,
yeah, I was going to say, I would think
so. You give them Benadryl and she came out of it, thank God. So,
girl, you have the best luck, don't you?
Always have Benadryl on hand.
Well, and how's your husband and how the other, everybody's good? I haven't seen your new place yet. I'm telling you, the first Sunday I'm off, we're coming down.
Oh, come down.
Well, I saw your new place, but when it was construction. It's what?
It's a zoo.
I know. Love for animals. All right, well, look, I'm not going to keep you going right now too long because I'm all screwed up on time and everything. And this is our first filmed episode, and it's going to be hilarious because we're going to be going, man, you look fat.
Oh, stop.
That'd be me.
Well, I hope you guys have fun.
Well, you are part of the Tuesday fun crew here now, too, so we'll talk to you soon. I'll give you a call this week.
Drive safe,
sounds
Nicole.
Good.
Love you a lot.
Thank you.
Tell your folks I said hi, too. Bye. That was
all
Nicole
right,
Summerfield.
Bye,
doll. Yeah, well, it is. The traffic report is getting kind of old because there's nothing to report. That's what she
Except
was like. What do you want me to say? I'm just
sitting
here. So, just thanks,
sitting.
Nicole, though. You're just like a big ray of sunshine.
I was worried my way out here, but it was fantastic, actually. There was no traffic, so I was just opposite of everyone.
You know what? Coming, you want me to unplug this, right?
Yes.
Okay. Coming from North Hollywood is a breeze at rush hour.
It was.
Sometimes coming up over the pass can be a drag.
Took no time at all.
The pass, ladies and gentlemen, is, as I've mentioned before, the 405 freeway is the busy from the 10 interchange by my house to Sherman Oaks.
Yeah.
And the 101, it's the busiest stretch of freeway in the entire world.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And there was this really neat thing that they did the history. It was like 1957 or 56 when they started taking the 405 over, and there's all these great aerial shots of eminent domain.
Yeah,
well, no, of the building of the actual construction of.
Oh.
And then I was like the eminent domain that I'm sure so many people, it's like right down here, on the other side of the 405, that used to be the city of Sawtell. And now they're promoting it as Japantown because, are you familiar with how Sawtell goes down to Olympic?
No.
All right. Well, don't get me started. We'll talk about this in another episode. But the city of Sawtell, do you know where the New Art Theater is?
No.
Okay.
I'm so not hip on
that's
my
cool.
LA geography.
It's a tiny little area that I know they're going to start bringing back because it's really close to the VA.
Okay.
So there's a lot of homeless folks
that
are around. But there's a couple of really old hotels from the 20s and some shops that used to be the downtown area, and the 405 went right through it and cut it.
Okay.
But it's really interesting because my friends Hector and Carol, who are from the neighborhood, are going to take me on a tour.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to video it.
Nice.
Okay, back to Sylvia Sage, everybody. Yay! I know we're going all over the place, but that's what happens on the Bob Dean Show.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It happens in my brain, too.
There you see. We're going to be good friends because we're just getting to know each other now. So anyway, so we were talking about how you moved to LA when you were 30.
Yes.
Now, did you come out here to just do comedy? Do you want to throw your hat in the ring with acting?
No, I came out here just for comedy. Honestly, I came out here so blind to what Hollywood really was because I thought you could come out and just do stand-up, which is not the case, by the way. If you want to do stand-up, you have to be a famous TV personality, and then you can do stand-up.
Well, you can do it, but
you won't get paid.
Nobody's going to come see you. You're not going to get paid. Yeah.
So I was, under a blanket of denial that I could make it as just a stand-up comic, and then I got out here, and I was like, no, you can't. You have to have money, which I didn't have. So I found adult films. Believe it or not, I had a girlfriend who was already working in the industry.
And
I was 30 at that time, and I just thought, you know what? If I can handle it, and if my family can handle it, which is what you were talking about earlier, how my family handled it. If I can handle it and they can handle it, then we're good.
Well, that's an interesting point, though. Do you mind telling us about now? Are your folks? Do you still have both your parents?
I do. Mm-hmm. I'm so very lucky. I know that.
Now, is your family name Sage, or is that your?
No, that's a.
Well, shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Sylvia's mom and dad.
Yeah. No, they're great people. They're not still together, but they're both still alive. Uh-huh. My father is incredibly supportive of everything I do. He's like my number one fan. I think, of course, I'm his daughter, so I think he wishes I did not do adult films, but he never looks down upon me for it. We even kind of even joke about it in a weird way just because he's like my best friend.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And
what's his first name?
Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah. And my mom is incredibly religious, so it's a bit harder for her.
I remember you mentioning that in your act.
Yeah, so she and I just kind of agreed to disagree. She lives her life her way, I live my life my way, and we love each other. And
that's great.
Our middle ground.
And her first name?
Brenda.
Brenda. Hi, Brenda.
Yeah.
Now, do you have siblings?
I do. I have an older brother. He struggles with it a bit as well. I think he's gaining more comfort in the fact that now I've been doing it for 4 years. It wasn't just something I was doing, just to make a bit of side money because I had a drug issue or something crazy like that. You know, it was something that like I put a lot of work into, and people think that porn is the easy way out. What you don't know is it's really hard to become anyone or to be anything successful to make,
especially for the guys, it has to be really hard.
Well, yeah, right. Well, and as an older woman, it's a little bit more.
Girl, I'm sorry, you're stunning.
Thank you.
You're stunning, and I was, researching.
Yeah.
Your career.
Yes.
Can we promote that? Can
I? Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. Pornhub.
Yeah.
Just type in Sylvia Sage and I was saying I was watching some of your movies and I play for the other team.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were incredible. They were just great.
Thank you.
But my favorite one, I was telling you.
Yeah.
There's one where she catches her stepson. She walks in with this. She goes, "Look what you did to my decorative towel." Like, so touched upset. The soap.
and so then I have to, of course, punish him with a blowjob and sex, of course.
And you certainly did.
Yeah, right.
How many films have you done?
Oh my God, over 300.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, do they still like the joke used to be adult industry in Los Angeles was all filmed in Van Nuys or something like that.
Yeah, everyone jokes about it being Porn Valley. Here's the deal. We fuck everywhere. we're all over the place and you just don't know it. We're in Van Nuys. We're in Santa Monica. We're in Vegas. We're in New York. We're in Miami. We're in Phoenix. We're everywhere. Everywhere you are, we are.
Uh-huh, like Visa. Like Visa. It's everywhere you want to be.
Yeah.
Well, now, that's interesting. Are they studios? I mean, I'm sure that some must be studios. And some
usually
must be,
we
like,
rent out homes.
Homes.
Mm-hmm. Usually we rent out homes like up in, up in the hills or up in like Calabasas. We rent out like mansions.
Yeah, yeah. Because you can just tell.
Usually we can shoot like three scenes in one house and then you shoot two scenes. So you can shoot six scenes in one day. So you rent a huge house and you do, all these different scenes at the same time in just different levels of the house. So you can't hear anything. And just bust it out.
Now, do the people that you rent from, do they know that you're using it for a business?
They have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. You can use my apartment anytime.
Yeah, it actually pays really well to have your place rented out.
I got a big station wagon you can use too. Yeah. That'd be fun for some outdoor scenes.
And we do need some to mix up some spaces. So if anyone knows or wants to rent their place, let us know.
I sure will. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's usually the only thing you have to worry about is like your furniture, because they like prefer leather furniture because it's easier to clean, right? You know, you don't want to like get like the satin furniture because it doesn't clean off as well. You know, there's going to be
a little stain.
There's going to be some stains. Uh-huh. But I figure in the house of a gay man, you probably have pretty cleanable items, right?
Ugh, no.
Do you have hard to clean items?
Oh, you mean as far as furniture? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I bought the sofa. There was a lady that lived next door, Suzanne. She kind of disappeared, but she was an actual Hiroshima survivor.
Oh, wow.
She was a really elderly Japanese lady, and her son, who was some guy, blah, blah, he bought her. She had a lovely apartment full of all this beautiful furniture.
Yeah.
And then her son wanted to move her to Hawaii. So she asked me, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I bought this furniture that was like untouched from the lady. But it looks like suede.
Yeah.
But it's a cheaper fabric.
Suede.
And when faux suede. And you know, I'm a guy. I don't do a whole lot of personal things on the sofa sometimes. But but I mean, you know, laying around, you know, I eat my dinner on the sofa, yeah, you know, blah, 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 blah. And when I had the guy come out to clean the carpets and the thing, he's like, dude, I hate to tell you this, but people really get fooled by this particular kind of faux suede.
Right.
And he said it's especially hard on like guys like you or families because they think it's going to be easy to clean
yeah.
And it doesn't. So,
are you a person who can sit naked on your furniture?
No.
I'm not either.
Can't do it.
And I have.
I mean, I have, but.
I have too, but it makes me uncomfortable. I don't like having my like bare butt and my bare vagina on my furniture.
I got to have at least some boxers or some jockeys on.
I want a barrier
on.
Of some
sort. Exactly, yeah.
I have friends that can do it, and I'm like, you just balls all up there.
I know. Little hairs and stuff. And I'm, you know.
I know. And like, course, I lay my head there sometimes, you know? Like.
Well, I guess we could have, what you call it, that the spray stuff.
I Febreze.
Oh, God. Febreze is a bachelor's best friend.
I love
Febreze.
Febreze.
It's
awesome.
It's
in my car. It's in my house.
And what's
it.
Surprising to do is because, you know, I foster animals and I've accrued aww. 5 cats. And they're the coolest cats in the world. And oh. And so now I'm ended up, the whole point about it is having 5 cats and 3 of whom are black. So don't be calling me no cracker racist.
Oh
man of privilege, my ass. But the house doesn't
stay. He owns black cats.
I also have a Siamese, too. So all you Asian people out there, just remember the white man of privilege crap. Okay, back to you, Sylvia.
Okay, now, sorry, I lost it. Where were we? I don't know what
we're talking about
anymore. You know,
about us locations.
A location, mm-hmm. location, location. Okay, yeah. L.A. to Vegas and then back to L.A. And finally was able to get myself a home. So, yeah. No, I'm happy. I love
are you in a house or an apartment?
I'm in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could have a house. I just, I'm gone too much. There's so much maintenance to it. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, well, and they're unaffordable. I mean,
yeah.
Seriously. That's why everybody's moving to Nashville.
Are they?
I've gone on and on about this a million times, but first it was Portland, then Seattle.
Nashville is very pretty, though.
Nashville, well, it used to be.
Is it not anymore?
Well, it's because it's growing. This is my opinion. I haven't lived there since the flood, y'all. And my friends who are still there, they're like, you wouldn't believe it. You don't recognize anything. And my friend Julia, who lives in Bellevue, which is where I, blah, 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 blah. It's a nice suburb, like, you know, Thousand Oaks area kind of thing. And she works and lives in that area. She has for years. She said, I went downtown the other day to do some, you know, business and got completely lost. She said, I had no idea. And she's a native.
Oh, wow.
So, but anyway, the point of me going on about that is like neighborhoods like North Hollywood that are North Hollywood and they're post-World War II. So they're what I find to be charming little houses on huge lots.
Yeah.
They're like 3-bedroom, one bath kind of homes.
Yes.
But they're on huge lots. And you can sell that kind of house for $900,000, $1 million.
Oh, easily.
And then move to somewhere like Nashville, Portland, or whatever, and buy a house for half the price and still have that much money left over.
It's crazy you say that because at the place I was living before, there was one house on a huge lot right behind us and it was vacant. And finally they plowed it down. They put a whole apartment complex there. And
exactly.
I was like, how much did that just go for? That crappy little house.
Yep.
Like,
well, and that's just it. It's because that's kind of like what I think Nashville or whatever is there's no, the developer does what they want.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. It's a friggin' fact. Right. And flash buying by the Chinese is another fact. Which is why young people can't afford it. But anyway, don't get me started. I'm in a rent control department, and they're going to have to blast me out of there. Because it's like the coolest. It's starting to gentrify my neighborhood because it was all the old Japanese folks.
Oh, I got you.
But anyway, back to you.
Okay.
You got to pull me back.
I know. Chinese.
Please, exactly. Don't be shy.
Chinese. Okay.
Okay. Now, so you're in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what I want to ask. When you did your first, your friend introduced you.
Yeah.
Okay. Got your foot in the door per se. Yeah. What was it like? Okay. Let me ask you this, if you don't mind me getting personal. Were you in a relationship before you came to LA? Have you ever had like a steady guy or, close to being married or, you know?
Yeah, I was close to being married. I had a high school boyfriend of 4 years, and then out of high school, I dated another guy for 4 years. We bought a house together and did all that. And we are still very good friends. I would take a bullet for him, and I think he would do the same. But
and what's his first name?
Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Yeah. just different paths in life. And I have been single since him, which is 10 years.
Okay. And now, your first film.
Yeah.
What was it like, as far as like heebie-jeebies or butterflies in the stomach?
No, honestly, my first film was with her, my friend, and then another guy that she had already worked with. So I came into the situation with full knowledge of how it was going to go down. They're very professional. They run you through everything. And then you just, give your acting chops a try. Mm-hmm. And because it's chops. Well, the first one you do is the casting couch. And so it's very much like you have to pretend like, oh my God, I had no idea what's going on. So you have to do that whole thing. And then obviously you go through with it. But it was fine. And, then you get your money and you go home. And that was it. And every single porn set I've ever been on in almost 4 years, it's exactly the same. It's so, there are levels of professionalism, like levels of anyone that you could go into any office. Sometimes I go to a podcast where we're drinking water. Sometimes I go to a podcast where we're drinking tequila, and it's that type of thing. You're not supposed to really drink on a set, but sometimes alcohol will find its way. Weed usually finds its way on every set. But it's very professional. You walk in, you do your paperwork, and
it's not like the 70s.
No, it's not at all.
The myth or the legend of the production of 70s.
It's all about time because they're trying to crank out so many movies that the quicker they can get us in and out of there, the quicker they can get to filming another one or, get home themselves. So we're on set for like 4 to 6 hours, generally, depending on who you're shooting with. Sometimes a lot longer. Sometimes a little bit shorter, but usually 4 hours is like, you're lucky if you're getting at him 4 hours.
Now, the guys, and it's a kind of funny question. I never thought about this. As far as
they're taking something.
Their careers going. Are these guys, do they take any kind of supplements to keep the erections?
That's everyone's question when it's out of the men. Yes, they are taking something.
Okay, because I'm telling you, boy, some of those dudes stay up for a while, and I'm like, damn.
No, some of them I will say will do it naturally, but not for very long. And then they'll start substituting in like half of Viagra or a quarter of Viagra. And then, some of them do as far as to shoot up their dick. I even know some that have a pump in their dick.
Implanted?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do they do that?
I don't know. Oh, I don't ask that question. I just know it exists and
I'd heard about the pump, the exterior pump.
Yeah.
Because that was a little something that I did in my act, and it's a child.
Oh, really?
No, I can make, not to do it in the act, but I can make $1 million because when I, for the first, because I didn't even discover, I didn't have my first computer till like 7 years ago.
Right.
And a friend of mine, suggested I go to RedTube. Okay. I swear, ladies and gentlemen, my idea of porn was magazines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your mother always found. So anyway, I'm clicking along, and it was so overwhelming because all these little things are popping up everywhere, right, and call this person and that person. And anyway, when I finally got my bearings, I'm like, "This is, how am I supposed to and type at the same time?"
Oh, well, that, you don't have to messy. Go to the one. That's like a chat room. You don't have to do that.
Well, but if I, you want to, like, I got things to do. I can't. I'm, yeah. I'm, you see, I focus. So my whole point of the story is that I thought I'd invent a little cup that goes over your crotch. So you can pump with your foot and type at the same time.
Oh, that's smart. You would sell a lot of those.
I know. Pretty good idea.
Yeah. You should get on that. I wouldn't even put that on the air. I would just try to patent
it. Well, you know
quick.
What? I've already written the idea into what's my father
called. You already wrote the idea.
And put it in an envelope to myself. So it's already dated. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Just like I put up all my shows on YouTube right away. So when Carlos, what's his face, comes to steal our material, he will. Carlos Mencina.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I said
so
it.
Mean. But, you know, you shouldn't do that. That's all there is to it.
Okay, so do you have a favorite person to work with? I mean, because I didn't take a peek at all your films, but are there duos? I mean, even though you'll play different characters, but like the male actor and the female actress, you know.
I absolutely do. I don't have a lot of favorite female actresses just because I don't work with a lot of the same girls more than once. But there's such a small pool of men and I sleep with the same men over and over again. So I certainly have my favorites. Because there's probably only 25 working porn actors.
Really?
Yeah. So 25 dudes and like hundreds of thousands of women, I feel like. So it's like, well, at least thousands of women and like not a lot of guys. So you see the same people over and over again. So I certainly develop.
Well, now this is a serious question and I know that you openly, but as far as like HIV testing and things like that, the people are tested regularly.
Every 2 weeks by blood and urine.
Oh, that's a very smart thing. Is this Kathy coming in?
Oh, yeah.
When she does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she'll find her way. But no, that because that's a really serious thing.
Yeah,
of
absolutely.
Course.
And you know, the thing is I find that a large percentage now, it occasionally does happen where someone else, you know, someone in our industry will sleep with someone outside of the industry and bring something back. But honestly, at the level that I'm at, the levels of performers that I'm performing with, we all take it so seriously because it's our sole source of income, our body. So no one's really going and sleeping around outside of the industry. And if they are, they're being smart about it. So everyone's pretty serious about it. In 4 years, I mean, I haven't had anything.
Knock wood.
In 4 years. But that's just because I really do think everyone takes super care of themselves.
Right.
Well, and when you're on, when you literally have your vagina or your asshole or your penis or whatever on HD and it's this close to the screen, you will make sure that you are the cleanest person alive. I promise you that, because any little bump, any little pimple, any little ingrown hair will show up and look like herpes. So you are always, I mean, we consciously are thinking about that, you know, HD is not forgiving.
I never thought about that.
Yes. Yes.
It's true.
It is very true.
Nicole, the girl we were just talking to, she won, I think it was 3 years ago in the Dave and Buster's collegiate basketball contest.
Yeah.
She won second prize, which was this for the whole nation, which was like this giant friggin' HDTV. I mean, it's like a drive-in movie. And the first time I watched it, I could see like the pores in the guy's nose and stuff.
Yes.
And I'm like, who wants that?
It's
and
now
I'm thinking
forgiving.
About, you know, thinking about looking at other private places.
I got laser hair removal for a reason. Like, I mean, I've spent thousands trying to prepare this thing for the big screen, and it is, you know, it's exhausting. It really is exhausting.
Oh, I never thought about all these details.
So much goes into it.
Well, now, there's another question I wanted to ask. Okay, on your personal life, if you don't mind me asking.
Yeah, I don't.
Do you have a guy in your life, or do you get... Because this is your question. I mean, I know it's a business, and your body is your work in this, but do you get personal
wants
satisfaction? Yeah, I mean, with, you know, while you're working?
Yeah, I mean, while I'm working, I typically don't. Just because I'm really focusing on what I'm supposed to be doing, the things I'm supposed to be saying, the script I'm in, the part I'm playing, because usually the part I'm playing has nowhere near what my actual person is. For most part, I play a mom and I don't have children. And if I did, I wouldn't be fucking them. So I'm in like a different headspace, you know? So, no, it doesn't really get me off. I have a hard time getting off saying the things that I'm saying, dirty talk wise.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what was going to be my next question. So the whole, like, oh,
it's
baby.
No,
it's hard.
I hate it. Well, I'm so bad at dirty talk anyway, and then I have to be the role of a creepy mom or a creepy stepmom, and it's 10 times worse. So it's horrifying, really.
Welcome to the family, yeah. Joe.
Yeah. So, but to answer your question, I do date, but I haven't steadily dated anyone in 10 years.
Well, now, like when you do, when a fella asks you out or whatever, like, do you just, because people say, what do you do right
yeah.
away? And
oh,
you just
yeah.
come right out and say,
absolutely, I do.
There you go.
Yeah. Because I figure, I mean, they're going to find out one way or the other.
Exactly. And now, did their eyeballs get really big? Like, yeah, baby.
You know, I think sometimes, yes, because they're like, oh, that's intriguing. But then, you know, the reality of what it is hits them and it's not as appealing.
Well, I know one thing. This is our first real, you know, we met briefly before and you smoke cigarettes?
Yeah.
Yay, me too. Screw all you say. And you know what? Oh, that's how we met because I wanted to catch you after the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, damn, because I figured I could just hook up with Ray to get your info. And you were outside smoking. I was like, oh man, I love us. I love a smoker.
I know.
But yeah, it's bad for us. We all know that sort of thing. But
what's bad is everyone telling me how bad it is for me.
But you know what, though? Let me tell you something.
I get it.
I keep auditioning for the part. You know those LA commercials where they're like, speak up about secondhand smoke. You know, the chick's on the patio and she lights a cigarette and it goes upstairs. I'm like, I keep auditioning for the part of the guy that's like, and blows the smoke up into the baby's room. You know?
So bad.
Buy a house. If you don't like it, buy a friggin' house. But this whole, and you know, this is what's so interesting now, too. And don't tell me I'm wrong. But now that pot is legal, which I'm sorry, I have no problem with pot. I have no problem with pot. I think it's a wonder for people
pot.
But it's also a wonder for people with serious health issues. I believe that cannabis oils and things like that are our cures for cancer. But now that it's legal, it's
everywhere.
You walk in the supermarket and
everywhere.
You smell pot. You go in church and you smell everywhere. So my point about that being is shut the fuck up about secondhand cigarette smoke, people. Okay? Because I'd rather have my little kid sucking in some tobacco smoke than some pot smoke because, you know, he's just a little kid. You know, well, they're going to be stoned by the time they're 12 anyway, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Especially if they live in LA.
Well, I took a friend of mine to there's a weed dispensary on Santa Monica Boulevard.
I was going
to
say every corner.
Yeah,
there's
on every corner.
A weed dispensary
but there's
in
one,
every corner.
And we were on our way at, you know, to go do some clubbing in the world, everyone's in, but it's a late afternoon, and there's a hair salon. There's no point to the story. But there's a hair salon that's right next to the dispensary. And I was in the little convertible, and I'm sitting outside and waiting, and I had to pee so bad. You know, I'm getting older. And the dispensary was so crowded, I didn't want to go in and go, hey, can I use your So there's this hair salon right next door. And I go in, and of course, it's, you know, it's in West Hollywood, which is very, you know, nice, blah, blah, blah. But it was like the kind of place where the girl's at the door, and she's just got this look on her face like, you know, you are so lucky that I am here to wait on you.
Oh, God.
And I go in, and I go, I'll give you $10 if you'll let me use your bathroom.
Oh, my God.
And she was like, and I was dressed and everything, but I go, look, I'll give you $10 right here, cash. And she's like, well, I'm not supposed to. And I'm like, I really have to go. She's like, okay. And we laughed, and but anyway, that was fine. Pot dispensary store. I had to
love
pay $10
it.
To go pay.
You didn't probably have to pay $10.
Well, you know, I just felt.
Oh,
better.
They weren't going to let you into their bathroom.
No,
at all.
Not at all. Mm-mm.
Not even customers.
You know what's funny though,
it.
Too, is that like when I write comedy,
she probably thought you were going to shit your pants in the store.
Well, I told her I had to pee, just like at the damn Sprint store. This is I use this in my act too. It's true. The one in the Beverly Hills,
right,
is the one where you take for service because I usually go to the one. Blah blah blah. Anyway, and I'm waiting, and it was the iPhone 7 is here. I swear it was creepy. All these people are running around like little. They're going, oh my god, the iPhone 7. I'm so excited. And it was my turn, and I
will
get up.
Never feel that way about technology.
Oh, ever, I
ever.
Hate it. But anyway. So the girl, I said to the girl, I go, can I please use your restroom? And she goes, I go, where's your restroom, please? And she goes, it's at the Petco next door. And I go, what? And she goes, yeah, we don't have a restroom for customers. And I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. And so, and I was dancing. And she goes, you really have to go? And I go, I am not going to lose my place in line. I've been waiting for an hour and 15 minutes and I will urinate right down my leg. And so she goes, all right, come on, but don't tell me. So it was like Maxwell Smart, the Sprint store of Beverly Hills. You go through this one door and it's like, dun, 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 dun. You go down this hall and this private elevator goes, boom. And then you go up to the second floor and she's like, don't make any eye contact with anybody because you're supposed to be a Sprint employee. And you had to go like through four doors just to go.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm going to get a little catheter bag or something. Okay, back to you, Sylvie Sage. Yay. I can tell we're going to be doing a lot of hanging out. Okay, we talked about What were my questions? My podcast Bible. Background noise.
I know that table's rough. I didn't realize it when I hit it earlier. It was the only thing that looked like wood, but then it didn't sound like wood.
I know. Okay, well, I'm trying to think now. I'm kind of running out of questions. Let's talk. Tell me something. Tell us a joke.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell us about your comedy.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, seriously now. Yeah. We've been concentrating on one side, one aspect of your career. But comedy, do you go up anywhere? I mean, do you do a lot of open mics?
You know,
I need to be concentrating more on getting out like that.
I'm the worst. I don't go to open mics. I treat my bar shows like open mics. And I know I shouldn't, but I do because I'm not getting paid for them. So to me, they're open mics. I'm going to be at the Comedy Palace in San Diego with Stoner Rob on 420, doing a 420 show.
Excellent.
Because I am 420 friendly. And I will be at the Tavern this Saturday. I don't know when this actually is going to go on.
This show will premiere Friday evening.
Great. Then tomorrow night, you can find me at the Tavern.
Tell us the location of the Tavern.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look at my social media for that. Okay.
So you can let everybody know. It's in West Hollywood, isn't it?
Maybe. I'm the worst. All I know is that the day of, I'll look at the address and then I'll go there. Okay. Let's see what it says. Sycamore Tavern is what it is, and it's on Sunset Boulevard. Yes, 7038 Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, the Sycamore Tavern. I've never been, but
I haven't either. I don't believe.
Well, Sunda has been on my case about and rightfully so, because Sunda, you're right. I'm a lazy. Sunda did basically. We had a phone. Sunda and I would talk at like 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and you need to look her up. Sunda Kronquist, the woman. Okay. She is hot.
Oh, this picture.
Yeah. She is hilarious. She's absolutely hilarious. But she's like, you know what, Bob? You're ready. You're just sitting on your lazy ass, you know, basically. And she's right.
Yeah. You got comfortable.
Well, the thing about it is that if I want to, you know, pursue, I mean, I have no rose-colored glasses about fame or fortune. It would be nice to be able to support myself.
Right.
You know, who would want to get out of the glamorous bar business after 36 years? Of now, it's all this friggin' mint and shaved ginger and cucumber. Go to hell.
Yeah, that's pretty awful.
Oh, God. But anyway.
I drink my whiskey on the rocks, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And my gin straight up. Whiskey on the rocks and gin straight up.
That's right.
There's a venue in West Hollywood.
Okay.
It's a restaurant that has like a room that she's done a couple things in. And she's been up to, and I emailed the guy, but I got the wrong email, so... But I was hoping about it. It would be neat to set up a little room, you know, and do like that, because that's how comedy starts.
Yeah.
Because I love being on stage. I didn't think that I would ever. It's the highest high.
Yeah. I like being on big stages.
Yeah.
Bar shows can bite my ass.
Yeah, sometimes. Because, you know.
Because it hurts your heart because no one's paying attention.
No one's paying attention.
You're like,
the lighting sucks.
God damn it. This was really funny 2 nights ago
exactly.
when I did it on a real
people
stage.
People look at you and say,
yeah.
Fortunately, now I can call myself a regular. I'm at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah,
which is
yeah,
at,
you
in
said
Hollywood.
That. That's awesome.
Because
yeah.
through the LA School of Comedy and studying with Sunda and Dr. James Harris and
Amazing.
Sue Katz, you know, and that's why my website is pretty cool. Y'all go check it out.
Yeah.
But a lot of my core, on my website, it's my core material, so yeah. it might sound a little repetitive because that's one thing that you learn.
Right.
You have to have a core act.
I know.
Because when I first started doing it, I wanted to change because my friends were all coming to the shows. I'm very fortunate for being such a jerk.
Yeah.
I have a world of friends of all different ages and backgrounds. And
you feel bad because they're hearing the same stuff.
Right. And but then I would get up and trip over my feet.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the one thing that's cool about comedy, though, is even when you start tripping up, if you're...
If you can come back.
You can, yeah, because everybody loses it. And that feeling is
it sucks
awful.
I feel that feeling for months afterwards. I can have one bad show, I'll be taking a shower, and it'll hit me, and I'll be like gutted, and I'm like, oh my god, that was so bad.
Exactly. Or why did I say that? Or whatever.
Yes.
But a good show, it's like I can't drink.
Yeah.
You know, before a show, I can't eat before a show.
Well, really?
Mm-mm, I can't eat for like the whole day.
Oh my god.
And then, but I can't drink anything. You know. I tried that once. I think it was like my first show when I first came to town. I did the Belly Room.
Yeah.
At the Comedy Store.
Oh, I'm doing that in a few weeks as well.
It's cool. Yeah. It's a neat little room upstairs. Yeah, yeah. I like that. There's a weird vibe there for me. Have you ever been in the main room?
Oh, I've been thrown off my game there before.
See, I've done the main room like four times.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the guy's name, but it's like the Monday night show. And Because it used to be Ciro's.
Yeah.
And Ciro's was a like a big mobster, huge restaurant nightclub.
Okay.
Like Lucille. Everybody used to hang out there. But it's totally haunted.
Yeah.
Like
oh,
by
yeah.
some really mean spirits. They're like dead gangsters and stuff. And I remember watching this thing about, before I'd even been in on television, about the ice machine being haunted or something like that.
I feel like everything in there is haunted.
Well, I ran a bar on Miami Beach that we've talked about before that was totally haunted. And it was activity all day, every day, but then we had a haunted urinal. We had a haunted urinal, and
what would happen to the urinal,
girl? It was the neatest thing. I'll tell you the story another time when we're having drinks because it's really interesting. But the woman that it was a dive bar, you know, South Beach, because South Beach has gone up, and you know, as far as whatever, I don't live there anymore either. But there was this bar that had been like it had been a bar for since like 1930. Mm-hmm. It was in an old Deco hotel, and you know, and for like you know this. I would say 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, it was dive down there at the South Park. And the woman that owned the bar, there was a guy that was a big biker guy that was in love with her. And he got up, but she was a lesbian. A lesbian owned a straight bar. It's a fascinating story. Okay. And because I talked to the witnesses that were sitting, because the murder was in 1985. Wow. The year after you were just a year old.
Know, right?
But it's a fascinating and tragic story that this guy, he got up and he went behind the bar and he stabbed the owner, who was a little blonde woman, 12 times. And then he went, according to witnesses that I talked to, and the lady was like, it was weirdest thing. She said, I don't know. He went into the bathroom and the men's room was just a toilet, a urinal, and a sink. Mm-hmm. And everything, we had replaced all the plumbing, you know, to build this new place. And she said he was washing the blood off of his hands with like the little, like in a urinal, there'll be a little water in the bottom. I guess that was his first source. And she said he was washing the blood off his hands immediately after stabbing Gene in the urinal. And the urinal would just turn itself on. I mean, like a bank fountain, it would just go and flood the whole back of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, see, I'm getting started on Lasso Lounge again. I know Sammy's like, I've heard the story 100 times. But the neat part about it, though, is that these two girls came in who are like medium on TV, what's her face? Arquette played that role of the housewife who could see. And that's basically exactly how it is. And these two girls came in, they're like young and hip and really cool. And you know, I had no reason to doubt them because they knew all the shit that I had already researched just by being in the bar. And she's like, she goes, yeah, the woman that was murdered, she's probably in her late 40s and she's really short and petite with a long blonde ponytail.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, And the girl's like, she loves you because you love this bar. She follows you everywhere. So the point is that
that's
like
a little creepy.
When I'd be and I'd be in washing my hands and the urinal would start going, and I just go look at the urinal and go, Gene, please not now. And it would stop like that. I swear. It's cool.
That's so creepy.
Now, how do we get on that topic?
I don't know. It just happens. But you see?
We're talking about bars.
I don't know, shiny objects. I was a bartender for like 10 years. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah,
well, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
That's what
about.
I'm saying, yeah. That's why I'm like, I drink my whiskey on the rocks.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stand when people come in and order. And I worked at like a sports bar. So when you ordered a foo-foo drink in my bar, it was like, who are you?
Uh-huh,
like,
exactly.
Or the people who come in and try to test your bar knowledge.
Oh, screw you, young weasels. You're probably working some office somewhere.
Do you know how to make a blah, blah, blah? I'm like,
no.
I know how to make you a Bud Light or a rum and coke. What do you want?
You're a bartender, not exactly. Yeah. These three French kids came in four Sundays ago, and the bar that I work is on Sundays. It's just myself and a bar back, and it's a huge long bar. And these three, because I carded them, that's how I know how they were. Very Beverly Hills, fat. They were extremely fashionable, and they were French. And it was a guy and two girls, and they had really lousy attitudes.
Right.
And the girl, she's like, without making eye contact, she's rubbing her chin like this, and she goes, "I swear the dialogue." She goes, "I am drinking a martini." And I'm like drumming my fingers on the bar, my left eye's twitching. And she goes, "With some shaved ginger." And that's when I cross my eyes. And then she goes, "And perhaps some fresh mothered flowers." And I go, "No."
Oh my God.
And they all three looked up and I reached around and I go, "Here's a wine list."
Oh my God.
Pick a nice French something by the glass.
Oh my God.
Can you believe that?
I can though.
Yeah.
Because there are pretentious people across the globe.
Did you tend bar in Missouri or Kansas or out here?
Oh yeah, everywhere. So Kansas, Florida, Vegas. LA.
Oh, girl, see?
Yeah.
We've been all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, girls.
And bartender is such an easy thing to fall back on, you know?
No, well, it's an easy thing to fall back on when you can get behind a bar.
Well, that's true. Because, out here, it was really tough for me. Yeah. Bartending gig.
Because everybody wants to be a star and bartending. Right. You know, that's another excuse I use, because really, I plug where I work, Wolfgang Steakhouse by Wolfgang's Wiener of Beverly Hills, no affiliation with Wolfgang Puck the Schmuck. Yes, I said it. And it's a great steakhouse. It is. Yeah. And it's a great gig. My regular, I've got 75% regulars. And it's a great gig. And that's a reason why I don't like to take off evenings to go out and do bar shows and things like that, because I don't want to lose my slot.
Right.
Because I've been there for 7 years.
Right.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, bartending. Did you work in places where you could smoke?
I did some, yeah. Because I've been
miss those days.
I was bartending for, 10 years. So, and back in Kansas City, in Missouri, we certainly had bars. If you had a pool table in your bar, you could smoke. So
that's how it should be. That's how it should be. Seriously, if you don't like to smoke, you go outside. At least in a bar where you're shooting pool and stuff.
Yeah, the only thing about that was I would come home just, reeking of cigarettes every night.
And you don't realize it.
You don't realize it. Once you're in it for 30 minutes, you're like, oh, this is how the world smells. And
Well, it's true, because now that my friend spends a lot of time at my house, the point being is that he's a smoker too.
Yeah.
And I've never been around, it's been years since I've been around any smokers in the apartment.
Right.
And it's nasty. It is. I'm a smoker.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn. So, I do have, so for you non-smokers, you don't have to be so friggin', pitchfork and Frankenstein chasing about it. But it stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But boy, when I'm on a big old Bombay Sapphire, I can't do one without the other. I can go for months without a drink.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I'm not in a 12-step program for all the shit that I've done in Miami and Nashville and here, But it's because I can just turn it off like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to dry out, because when I drink hard. Well. Yeah. When I drink, it's like a party weekend,
See, I don't have to. I can have just a glass of wine or whatever. But if I'm out and I'm with friends, then
there's a big party on a Saturday. And joining us now is the fabulous Kathy St. George.
Hi.
Hello, Kathy.
Yay.
On the Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
Now, those of you out in Radio Land this is our first film podcast. I'm very excited. And look at these two beautiful babes on the show with me. And like the Marlboro Man. But anyway, you've heard Kathy. She's been on the show twice before. And the first time was when you brought your friend Larry.
That's right.
And he was a soup Nazi on Seinfeld, and that was a great
amazing.
Show.
Amazing. I'm so sad I missed that, actually.
Well, you can listen.
Yeah, I totally
can. At the Bob Dean Show. Yay. Yeah. On iTunes. Please subscribe and ask your friends. We are hovering still at around 6,000 subscribers on iTunes alone in our first year, which I'm very proud of.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's friggin' awesome, isn't it? Not to mention people that listen on the Stitcher app if you have an Android device. Like I do. And that would be STITCHER. And you can listen to the Bob Dean Show. And then you can also go, You can also, thank you. You can also go to my website, bobthesurlycomic.com. Now we're back with Kathy and Sylvia. Now, Kathy, you were Miss August of 1982, Centerfold.
Yes, I was.
And, I mentioned your name at the bar the other day because Kathy was the last guest to leave my Christmas Eve party, the happy birthday baby Jesus
really
cocktail
was.
Party. Yeah. And that, listen, when you have the honor of being the last guest, because in years, Pat, you got to come next year.
Yeah.
It's a happy birthday
so
baby
fun.
Jesus cocktail soiree. And it's a benefit for the West Los Angeles Animal Shelter.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah. But I cook and I'm bombed the whole night long. I don't remember anything after about 3. But in years past, the party's going on until dawn because
oh my
restaurant friends will come after, but I'm kind of, trying to wean that over because the police come and it's Christmas morning and, the neighbors have kids. And,
well, then their kids should be up anyway.
Right.
So what's it matter?
The point is that Kathy was the last guest that hangs out when I'm plopped down with her, there'll be 2 or 3 really close friends.
And my dog.
And your dog. And we sat, who's a delight. And we sat around by the Christmas tree and we drank and we ate and we laughed our butts off.
Love it.
Great. Yeah, it was 4 when you
And
left.
I made some nice friends there too that I've stayed in touch with.
Well, that's what awesome. I'm saying is that for being the big of a jerk as I am, I have got wonderful friends. I
you
really
said that,
do. I'm
yeah.
blessed. Yeah. And that's why I was senior class favorite in 1979.
We and just all love abuse is what it is.
Exactly. I'm such an ass behind the bar. I'm a pretty nice guy, but when I'm not. But yeah, I'm an ass behind the bar. People are afraid of me.
I look forward to it, though.
Well, the whole thing about it is when I'm like, if you were to come in and I'd go, good evening, Kathy.
It would
it's
scare
so
me.
Nice to see you. Then you know that I was like,
there's something wrong.
Yeah. When you sit down and I'm
he's being held at gunpoint.
Yeah. When you came in with your lovely friend and she wanted
she was She's a little bossy.
No. Not to me. But,
I thought to you.
Because that's what I'm saying, though. Is that she, anytime they want something with muddle jalapenos, I'm like, oh, are you serious?
I love that.
I say it right out. I'm like,
I'm the one. I
know.
Love it.
But you ended up with the two because I told her she wasn't going to like that drink. And what happened? She, you know, she's like, Kathy, will you switch with me? You did? Okay, good. Well, when
it's my new favorite, actually.
Oh, hooray. That's the Wolfgang Spice. It's one of our signature cocktails from the cocktail
maker. It's really good.
It is. You know, for people that, like, I'm like.
I'm not a spicy person. So.
I carry ghost pepper salt in my
purse. Oh, my God.
Do you really?
To heat up food, yeah.
Oh,
that
cool.
is so funny.
Well, Sylvia was a bartender for a long time, too.
Yeah.
So yes. The point being is we were just talking about things like, you know, customers and recipes and all that sort of thing. So the Wolfgang Spice is orange vodka with fresh jalapeno and lemon.
Okay.
A little sugar, cranberry and orange juice. And the thing that gets me is the damn sugar rim.
Sugar. It's a lot of sugar.
It's a lot of sugar. But and you can do it without. But the sugar rim on any drink, it just makes it sticky.
Yeah.
Even, you know, when it first comes out, it's beautiful and it tastes good with certain drinks. But by that time that the customer's done, I feel bad for them because they're like,
yes. And then they want to go, come here. Thanks, Bob.
So what was I going up? Something about, oh, yes. Talking about your Playboy.
Yes.
And one of the guys at the bar who's like my age or our, you know, our age. And I was blah, blah, blah. And I go, do you remember Kathy St. George? And I swear to God, his eyeballs went, brrr. And he goes, hell yeah, I remember Kathy St. George. I'm like, ah, she's a really good friend of mine. He's like, no way. But anyway, so you gave me the fabulous Zippos.
Oh, right.
Autographed Zippos with your centerfold on
the front. My cover.
Amazing.
Your cover.
And I found them accidentally. I mean, I just found them online and went, and I every time I sell a couple and I buy a couple more, you know, so.
That's funny.
It's the most wonderful, seriously, things like that from friends, I treasure. And if you look at the, that little video I posted last night, you know, where I wasn't naked, by the way.
I have to see that.
It's hilarious.
Oh, too bad.
It's hilarious.
Oh, it was hilarious. But,
oh, no, that's the one where you were doing the dance? Or no, that's a different one. We got another one?
Well, no, last night we made a video. And I'm shirtless.
I got something to look forward to.
Well, I found the Hello, My Name Is stickers that I usually ask people to wear at the party. Because my parties, if I hear somebody look at somebody else and go, what do? It's the first thing out of their mouth. I'm like, you got to go.
Right.
And you know,
I hate that too.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because we've had you know, centerfold stars and actors and street cleaners and everybody has fun at my parties because there's no pretension. But that was just really exciting that the guy, he was like, oh, you're so excited. I'm like, damn. So tell us about your reshoot that you'd recently did. Was it last?
I shot it in late April last year, and it was, they had me reshoot. They picked up 7 or 8 girls to reshoot their iconic covers from Playboy.
That's awesome.
And they picked me, and I really was kind of uncomfortable doing it because my cover was very naked, except for a little bit here and there. And all the rest of them were completely clothed. And some of those girls were in great shape, you know, like Ava and all that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, let's just say there's more of me to love now. There's a lot more of me to love. So I thought, you know what? I'm so scared that I'm going to go ahead and do it because it's better for me to do something that I'm afraid of, you know? Yeah. And I shot it, and it came out really nice. Mm-hmm. In fact, the only shoot that, other than his mother, that Cooper Hefner showed up for was mine because I was the naked one.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
What's going on with
the
mansion and all that stuff now?
I have no idea.
This is what I want to tell you. My friend Dwayne Henry, who has been on the show, he's a big Beverly Hills realtor and formerly in the business. He's a very handsome African-American guy, and his hot babe, well, I shouldn't say hot babe, his delightful girlfriend, Brandy. They come in all the time, and they're just like the toast of Beverly Hills. Well, he was like the head valet for 6 years at the mansion.
I probably know.
He's a really handsome, good-looking black guy.
He's got
a little bit of attitude.
But
yeah, he was in, when you came in with your girlfriend just the other night, you were down at this end of the bar, and he and Brandy were down at the other end of the bar, and because he had just told me, I knew that he had been in the, he's a native of LA. He's really sharp and really smart. And he's a big realtor in Beverly Hills now. And in I guess maybe back in his 20s and into his 30s, he was in the industry. You know, the not adult film.
Yeah.
But, you know, the that's movie.
There's many industries, yes.
The point of me going on that is that he just told me. I mean, we were just shooting shit. He's like, yeah, man, I was a valet at the mansion for 6 years. And I was like, Kathy just left. And he's like, damn. He's like, I see. He said, I got to know her. Why didn't you introduce me? And I go, because I didn't remember.
So did you live at the mansion then?
No, no, I never lived there. Okay. But I lived with his girlfriend. This was back in 81, 82.
Yeah.
I lived with his girlfriend. But the thing is, I went up there all the time. Like, I'd go up in my pajamas with no makeup, my hair in a ponytail on top of my head. And I'd just go lay in the library and watch TV while he played Monopoly.
Oh, wow.
It was just like, you know, I just didn't like to be alone all the time. So I'd just go up there and have a BLT sandwich with avocado, which is my favorite thing.
Because they have like a chef there, right?
Well, they have their chef and they have butlers. And, and it was so much fun. The butlers, I stayed friends. Hef used to have a valet back in the early 80s, and I remember we used to go to the drive-in and with a big cooler of like Bailey's Irish Cream and all this stuff.
Oh,
and you just became friends with so many of these people. That's that they really looked after you. And
and you're friends to this day too.
One guy almost took his eye out opening a bottle of champagne. He'd never opened a bottle of champagne
and tried to like knife it off.
I felt so terrible. No, he leaned over it.
No.
It went boom. We had to take him to the hospital.
Oh, yeah, God.
He might put an eye out.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, I'm trying. I wish Ava Fabian, who's just
She's
beautiful she's just a delight. I think she's a little skittish about coming on. I don't know.
I don't know maybe why.
Because maybe she just doesn't like me. But
no, she loves you.
She said you're an asshole, so there you go.
Exactly. I'd love to have you guys both on, and we can just concentrate on talking about just like
that. Would be great. I'll try to talk her into it.
And you know, I know nothing about the Playboy. My friend, her father designed the grotto.
My father did that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. This is my friend. I can't remember her name. But yeah, her father designed the grotto. But the whole thing about it is that. I was watching Weezer video for Beverly Hills, and it's shot out. And the reason why I bring this up is I know nothing about the mansion. I've been to a couple of really big estates and parties. In north of Sunset, and my whole first thought is they're going to tear down that place and just jam in a bunch of condos something. I think it's not zoned. The first party I ever went to was some guy I think he was the director or producer of those Meatballs movies or something, and they were having a pool party, and it was this beautiful, like the gates and the whole thing, and there's like Rolls Royce Jaguar, blah 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 blah, in this big circular driveway, and I parked back by the guest house. And it was a freshwater pool. You could actually drink the water. But the hostess, his wife, was like 30, very young. But she was cool as shit. The point is that when my friend who invited me was introducing me to the host, she's like, welcome, blah, blah, blah. We're talking. And I go, listen, I just want to let you know that the Brentwood Patrol is going to be cruising up here at any minute. And she goes, why? And I go, because they're going to take one look at my car and think that Tex Watson has crashed your party. And she was like, she didn't know who Tex Watson was. Manson killers, you know. And I'm like, they're going to think Tex Watson's crashed the party. And she was like, what? And I'm like, forget it.
I used to drive a 68 Ford Squire.
I know.
Gold. But one of Hef's friends also had a blue one. So we would always park our big Ford Squire. Mm-hmm. It's the size of a hearse.
Yeah.
And I could parallel park that baby like
nobody. Seriously, that's how I am with my Buick Roadmaster. I don't drive it much anymore, but Sammy drove it for a while, rode the Roadmaster. And you can and that thing, I can get that anywhere.
That's hilarious.
And I've got this new, old convertible that I bought, and that's cool because, you know, there's no top stuff. But now I've got this new Volkswagen as well. These ear things are killing me, guys. I've got this new, but I like my hat. That's got this new Volkswagen with the rear camera.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm just like, all the time now, and I'm bumping into more stuff now.
I've heard that.
Because the visibility is lame. It's a really cool car.
My
it's a
visibility
great car.
Especially is lame now. So sad.
That's where you need marijuana. It's good for the eyes.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Except that I also think I had a stroke when I do it. But
when you smoke weed?
I don't smoke a lot of weed, but I took some because they gave it to me for upset stomach.
Yeah.
But I guess it was edible, and I think it was too much.
Oh, no.
It was chocolate, and it was really good.
Yeah.
Listen, so it's like, I'm telling you, and if you eat too much of that shit,
swore I had a stroke. I was like, well, my stomach doesn't hurt, but my face is completely drooping on one side. And I'm dragging a foot. I swear it scared it.
Yeah, you took too much. You took too much. For sure.
Oh my gosh, I hate this because we're running. You took all that the battle of traffic to get out here, but we're kind of running out of time.
That's okay. I'll be back.
Yes,
I'll be back.
And
yes.
Sylvia too, because that was the whole thing. I'm so glad that you did make it. I wasn't trying to discourage you, but I felt bad about you having to come from all the way.
No, it's okay.
Because for those of you that, you know, traffic's bad in every city, but Los Angeles is, the worst. You know, it is. And to go from the beach, from Santa Monica, all the way to downtown, to your fabulous loft, and then back out here, I would kill. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, I'm going to go have a drink down the street at Carmine's.
Perfect.
Oh, cool.
See Lisa.
But you guys are my first video guest.
Hey, it's so exciting.
Two babes, a blonde and a brunette, and me,
but this
Bobby.
Is my bad side. So you're going to have to switch with me next time, Bob.
Okay. Your stroke side, dragging a foot.
My stroke side.
All right, well, what we're going to do is we're going to make plans. So I want you guys to come back on real soon.
Great.
Yeah,
that'd be
Sound
great.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, listen, as I shamelessly promote myself again, The Bob Dean Show. Yay. Please, please ask your friends to subscribe and spread the word on iTunes and Stitcher, STITCHER, on your Android device. And, of course, my website, The Bob Dean Show. No, wait, BobTheSurlyComic.com.
He doesn't even know.
I don't know what day it is. Okay, now, is there anything else anybody wants to add? Are we going to be anywhere, do anything, parties?
Yeah, just have those shows. So Saturday night at the Sycamore Tavern, I have the 420 show
in San Diego.
And then I am doing the Belly Room on the 20-something.
The 23rd is a Saturday.
It's a Friday.
Friday.
After the 13th, whatever Friday that is.
Do you know what time you're going to go up? Because the Belly Room is usually a late night.
7:45.
All right, I'll try and get the night off. Kathy, I'll try and get the night off.
Yeah.
You want to go?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yes, that would be amazing.
And then you were getting ready to say?
I'm just going to go home and make hot soup.
Love it.
Okay.
Hot soup. You make homemade soup?
My life isn't that exciting right now.
I made dinner before I came. I made dinner at 4 o'clock I could have dinner made.
And when you get home?
Well, no, I already ate. I ate like a 5 o'clock dinner. That's how lame I am, and I'm going to go home.
Really, you will have another one, won't you?
Yeah.
For being an adult film actress star with designer towels in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Decorative towels.
I always eat again if I eat that early. I eat again.
Oh, I'll eat again later. Don't you worry.
I eat whenever I get an opportunity. Tuesday night after that we do the Bob Dean Show. Yay. It's usually like pizza night. All right, I guess we're going to wrap it up. I hate to do it. I hate to wrap it up, but
next time.
Oh, come on, wrap it up. Wrap me up.
Wrap me. I'll wrap you both. You know, I only tell people.
Have you ever worn Saran wrap?
No.
Not yet.
Well, I'll tell you about it next time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is the thing about it, ladies and gentlemen, is I only tell people that I'm queer so that women think they're safe. All right. That's going to be it for. I think this is episode 40, isn't it?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
I want to say thanks to Joe, our new cameraman, very, very much. And Sammy Junio. Yay. And, as soon as I can start charging y'all $1 a podcast, I'm going to just start doing it. So,
please.
So you know. Okay. Thank you all very, very much. I love you both.
Thank you.
We'll schedule another one real soon.
Okay.
Bye out there
in
podcast land. Goodbye.